Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Has there ever been a time in human history in which the world was in the state of crisis that it is in today? On every front, we see turmoil and turbulence in human affairs. Western leaders, and especially U.S. leaders, continually focus on the war on terrorism as if it were the number one problem facing humanity. In President Bush's address to the nation Monday night on the fifth anniversary of 9/11, he stated that the outcome of the battles on the streets of Baghdad will determine the security of the people of the United States of America. He continually connects the war on terror with the war in Iraq. But is the war on terror and the war in Iraq the sum of the crises that the peoples of the world are facing? Don't jump to conclusions. Hear me out. The world is in a clash of religious and civil ideologies. Leaders in the U.S. try to frame the clash between civilizations, as they term it, as a war between those who love freedom and democracy and those who would rule the peoples of the world as dictatorial tyrants. But is that the root cause of the clash between radical Islamic fundamentalism and the nations of the West? ABC is airing a mini-series titled The Path to 9/11. And as you listen to the conversations among the Islamic terrorist cells, one should be struck by the continual references they make to the will of God. Whether Western leaders want to admit it or not, the Islamic world believes they are Allah's soldiers. They are His warriors. Their goal is to convert the world to Islam, whether the rest of the world likes it or not. Thus, they view the war as spiritual in nature, and they believe they will be rewarded in paradise for fighting in the name of Allah. On the other hand, Western leaders continue to frame the war on terrorism in political and economic terms. The U.S. depends on volunteers to sign up for the armed forces and then go wage war for freedom and democracy. And these are noble causes, but it is difficult to rally the peoples of a nation around political ideology. On the other hand, the peoples of the Islamic nations are basically united in their support of defeating what some call the great Satan of the West, especially highlighting the United States. These people are filled with religious zeal and determination to convert the world to Islam. They are filled with a type of fervor and zeal that should strike fear in our hearts. Contrast their zeal and fervor with the peoples of the West, who are philosophical and secular in their approach to the great class of civilizations that continues to develop between East and West. When people are filled with religious zeal and fervor, they will go through unbelievable suffering, shame, and pain to gain the victory. The peoples of the West, on the other hand, have been so desensitized and secularized that they cannot grasp what it means to be filled with religious zeal and fervor. People can be filled with zeal for the wrong causes and motivated by the wrong spirit. CNN just aired an interview just a few minutes ago this week with one of the principal clerics at an Islamic school called Madrasa. The students begin their studies at this school at 6 o'clock a.m. and end at 10 o'clock p.m. with three short breaks during the day. The cleric states that some people ask, why do they teach holy war? Why don't we teach love? The cleric responds, the Quran teaches holy war, and to teach otherwise would be disobeying Allah and the words of the Quran. Perhaps the greatest question that humanity will be facing in the near future and even today is, who is the true God? And perhaps even more fundamental to that question is, does God exist? The Bible states that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Bible also states that there is a fallen spirit world led by Satan the devil and the demons. Ironically, Satan the devil was once a great archangel, an angel that was created by God to help him in bringing many sons and daughters to glory. In fact, it states very clearly in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, what are angels? What is the purpose of angels? Aren't they ministering servants sent to the heirs of salvation? And God created three great archangels. Lucifer, who was there at the throne of God at one time, according to Ezekiel 14, verses 12 through 17. You can read it for yourself. He also created Michael and Gabriel. And these three archangels were to have special roles in bringing many sons to glory and helping God bring sons and daughters to glory. But Lucifer rebelled. He became vain and puffed up. When he saw that he was so beautiful and intelligent, he tried to take over God's place and tried to overthrow the throne of God. You can read this in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. So the Bible tells us that we should try the spirits, whether they are of God or of Antichrist, those who are against God and Christ. Yet with each passing day, the peoples of the Western world are bombarded with the message that God is dead and humanity must save itself. Evolution is taught as a so-called scientific fact in the classrooms of the U.S. from preschool classes through graduate school. And we should ask the question, can humanity solve its problems? Let's take a quick look at some of the more challenging problems that the peoples of the world are facing at this critical, crucial juncture in human history. 1 billion people have no access to clean and safe water. 2.6 billion lack toilet facilities. That's a third of the peoples on the face of the earth. 4,000 children die every day from diarrhea, which is a waterborne disease. 1,400 women a day die needlessly in pregnancy or childbirth. 4.25 million more health workers are needed urgently on the face of the earth. There's also a shortage of teachers. About 1.9 million teachers are needed. There is a need for $47 billion a year to hit certain targets in education, health care, water, and sanitation. That's less than 5% of the global weapons budget. We're in that period of time described by the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 3 and verse 9, where the nations are beating their plowshares into swords and the small are saying that they are great. So there is a crisis in health care and education, but this is not nearly the only crisis on the face of the earth. Will human leaders ever begin to solve the great crisis that the world faces? We live in such paradoxical times. On the one hand, we hear of new medical breakthroughs almost every day. On the other hand, more and more people cannot afford health care, even in the nations where it is available, including the United States of America. The healthcare situation on almost the entire continent of Africa is so appalling that it is heartbreaking to think about. A few churches and private citizens are pitching in, trying to help some of the peoples of Africa, but their noble efforts cannot really stem the tide of the grim and growing health and economic crisis that stalks the peoples of Africa. Lack of health care, education, and right moral and spiritual training results in peoples falling prey to disease, famine, and moral deterioration. Couple this with the upset weather conditions that the world faces, and we see an ever-increasing human misery index. The New York Times is reporting that the devastating drought currently underway in the United States has reached catastrophic proportions, sending much of the northern Great Plains into conditions that farmers and ranchers say are comparable to the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. Ranchers are turning to desperate measures to try to save their herds. Withered sunflower plants, normally raised for seeds and oil, are being fed to livestock. Cattle are being hauled hundreds of miles to healthier feedlots despite soaring fuel costs. Water is being poured into refilled natural watering holes that have gone dry. The governor of South Dakota even issued a proclamation declaring a week to pray for rain. And when you know that a government official in today's world calls for a week of prayer, you know that situations are rather dark and dreary. The American Water Works Company, a subsidiary of Germany's utility megacorporation RWE, already provides water to 18 million Americans in 29 states. The urbanization of the West is facing a great water crisis, coupled with agricultural irrigation of the deserts and arid plains. Those practices is sucking the underground aquifers dry. And amazingly, a subsidiary of a German megacorporation is supplying part of the water supply in 29 states. More and more of the U.S.'s infrastructure is being financed by international financing consortiums. And at the same time, the U.S. trade deficit grows, while Germany and China continues to show a whopping trade surplus. China's trade surplus is now approaching $1 trillion. China holds billions in U.S. currencies that they could call in, but on the other hand, China views the U.S. as the goose that lays the golden egg as they dump their cheap goods here in the U.S., depending upon U.S. consumers to buy them. The United States is both importing heavily from China and borrowing heavily to finance those purchases, pushing the dollar down. China is more and more challenging the U.S.'s role as a world's great superpower. They are rapidly developing, producing, and stockpiling more and more weapons. They're building alliances with Russia and China, Russia and Iran. And they have signed a multi-million dollar deal with Iranian oil producers. China is leaving no stone unturned in their quest to unseat the United States' influence on the world scene. The U.S. government computer news service, in an article titled "Pentagon Warns of Internet Intrusion by Chinese Cyber Terrorists," states, quote, U.S. Defense Department officials say they have evidence that civilian network incursion units operating inside China have launched attacks against one of the main internet arteries maintained by the Department of Defense, the non-classified IP router network, and thus far have successfully downloaded up to 20 terabytes of data after hitting it with as many as 3 million scans per day. Here's how Sorcha Fail describes the current crisis in the United States. Quote, with a catastrophic drought turning their agricultural heartland into a dust bowl, with their leaders claiming their wars are understood by God, with their economy built on nothing more than what they can consume, with their industrial heartland and the jobs they once employed all sold to nations around the world, to the collapse of the value of their most prized possession, their very homes, with their having become the most obese country the world has ever seen, to their leaders selling the very American infrastructure of the people to foreign powers such as Germany, supplying 18 million people with water in 29 different states, with many of them on antidepressant medicines, with 70% of their food being genetically modified, with their human rights and liberties being taken from them, with their no longer having the rights to raise their own children, with their access to justice denied by their courts. With all these and so much more, one can only wonder if indeed the entire peoples of the United States have gone completely insane. End of quote by Sorcha Fail. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we will explore what you can do in the face of the world in crisis. The world's crisis grows grimmer each day, and you really need to understand what is behind all of this. You can subscribe to the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that will help you understand how to cope with life in these terrible, troublesome times in which there is so much turmoil in this world. The Good News Magazine presents to you on a bi-monthly basis articles in a timely fashion which will help you in every dimension of life, from marriage and family, child rearing, to how to cope with the various social ills that are besetting Americans, the drug problem that besets us, alcoholism, and also how you can really come to understand the plan and purpose of God, why you were born. And when you subscribe to the Good News Magazine, we will send you a booklet titled, What is Your Destiny?, which explains to you why you were born. And we'll also send you our article, Are We Living in the Last Days? To receive the free literature, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. There will be no follow-up. No one will call on you unless you ask them to. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. In the first segment of our program, we highlighted some of the reasons why the world is in crisis. People are wringing their hands and wondering in a state of anxiety and fear, as never before, wondering where the next shoe is going to drop. Couple all of this with wars and rumors of war, along with the deteriorating moral climate in the U.S., and one can readily see that the world indeed is in crisis. Obviously, human beings have to try to do what they can do to help each other in these troublesome times. There are many good works that we can do in serving one another, and some people and organizations are doing wonderful things in trying to lower the human misery index. But these things will not solve the world crisis. And once again, that is not to say that we should do nothing. We should do whatever we can. The Bible admonishes us to do good to others whenever we have the opportunity and not to grow weary in well-doing. But on the other hand, that same Word of God warns us that good works will not save us. Note the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not every one of you that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And the word iniquity basically means lawlessness. And we have basically in the world today so many people who teach that the law of God has been done away with, that all you have to do is have faith in Jesus, that he perfectly kept the commandments, and his righteousness will be imputed to you. We are to become the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but Jesus didn't come to save us in our sins. He came to save us out of our sins. And he says, as we shall read in just a moment, that he kept the commandments of his Father. Jesus goes on to say, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, so there is the obedience dimension, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Jesus Christ came preaching a revolutionary new message. It was a message that challenged the status quo of his day, and he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes, and he basically turned that part of the world upside down. That message is a message that challenges the status quo of our day as well. Jesus preached the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Note the essence of his message in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is not just an ethereal concept of life in a faraway land. The kingdom of God is coming to this earth, and it will only be through the kingdom of God that the world will learn the way of peace. it would seem that the blood-stained, tear-soaked pages of human history would teach us that human beings cannot solve the massive problems that beset the sons of men. It seems that if we have learned anything, we have learned that human beings, apart from God, cannot solve the crises the world faces on every front. So what is the solution? One of the first things that humans must come to understand and know is that God exists, and He is who He says He is in the pages of your Bible. Do you know who the true God is? Is the true God the God of Islam and the Quran? Is the true God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the God of the Bible? Now, I submit to you that that is the true God. As stated earlier, one of the greatest questions that must be answered in the near future is, and it must be answered quickly by all of us, who is the true God? At the present time, Satan is the god of this world. The Apostle Paul writes that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. You can read it. Satan, who is the god of this world, is blinding the minds and hearts of the peoples of this world so that the glorious light of the true gospel will not come through. Satan is the god of this world, and there are many deceivers who are preaching every wind of doctrine that can be imagined. And you will be deceived if you don't open the pages of your Bible and begin a quest to know the true God and our Creator and loving Father. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, that because they love not the truth, God is going to give them grand illusion that they should believe the lie. The lie will be that one will eventually sit in the temple of God saying that he is God, and the peoples of the earth are going to worship this one, and Satan the devil. Believe it or not, the world, everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will worship this beast power and Satan the devil, along with the false prophets. You can read it in Revelation 13, verse 8. If you will begin to read the Bible, read it for yourself, what it says, then you can begin to understand that you were created for a great transcendental purpose. And we can help you understand the purpose and plan of God. Having the right teacher is so important in this day and age in which people are being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. In Acts 8:31, you can read of the attitude of the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading the Bible. When Philip came along and asked if he understood what he was reading, and the eunuch replied, "How can I unless some man guide me?" There are many teachers and preachers who claim to be true teachers, but you must always compare what they say with what the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah 8:20, "If they speak not according to the law and the testimony, it is because there is no light in them." This calls for us searching the Scriptures daily, as did the Bereans in Paul's day. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things be true. So, do you really understand why you were created? Do you understand the purpose of human existence? You were created to become a son, a daughter of God, in the kingdom of God. You were created to rule and reign with God and Christ and fellow believers in the kingdom of God. Today, if you only read one scripture, read Revelation 5 and verse 10, which says, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Yes, we are going to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. God is going to use the first fruits to help bring all the other nations into relationship with God and Christ and each member of the body of Christ. This indeed is good news. The kingdom of God is coming, and that is the only hope for humanity. Do you really know and understand what you must do to be in the kingdom of God? On the day of Pentecost in 31 AD, when the Holy Spirit was sent to the New Testament church, the Apostle Peter stood up and gave a powerful sermon telling the people what was going on, apprising them of the history of Israel and the fact that Jesus Christ was the one, the promised one, who would come and pay for the sins of the world, that he now had ascended into the heavens and was sending the Holy Spirit. The people asked what they should do, and the Apostle Peter responded in Acts 2:38, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance means to turn around and go the other way. And the only way that you can bridge the great gulf between mortality and immortality is to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The way that God teaches is revealed to you in the pages of your Bible, the way that Jesus taught and lived while he was here on the earth. Jesus states in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Amazing that Jesus Christ would make such a statement, and yet people, some say that Jesus Christ did away with the commandments. He goes on to say, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father I have made known unto you. In fact, Christ summarized the teachings of the whole Bible, in a sense, in response to a question posed by a lawyer of his day, a teacher of the law, in Matthew 22:36. This teacher of the law asked, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Trying to trick Jesus. Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The whole thing hangs on those two commandments. Yes, the kingdom of God is coming to this earth, and the first fruits are going to rule and reign with God and Christ in that kingdom on the earth, as it says in Revelation 5:10. The Bible tells us when this kingdom is going to begin. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. Are you ready for that day? You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. We'll send you a subscription to the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding. We'll send you the booklet, What is Your Destiny?, which tells you and shows you why you were born, why you draw breath. You were born for a great transcendental purpose. And we'll also send you our article, Are We Living in the Last Days? All you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Be sure to be tuned to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. 14. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on our program, you may call our toll-free number. When you call that toll-free number, leave your name and your address. The toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.